Hey, I'm stand-up comedian Ophira Eisenberg, and I am mom to a very spirited 9-year-old and host of Parenting is a Joke. Each week, I talk to comedians and celebrities about what it's like to raise kids while keeping your career afloat. There is no parenting advice here, okay? Just hilarious stories from the chaos of everyday life, from school drop-offs to airport meltdowns and everything in between. We're all figuring it out. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Subscribe to Parenting is a Joke wherever you get your podcasts.
From the podcast that brought you to each of the last lesbian bars in the country and back in time through the sapphic history that shaped them, comes a brand new season of Cruising Beyond the Bars. This is your host, Sarah Gabrielli, and I've spent the past year interviewing history-making lesbians and queer folks about all kinds of queer spaces, from bookstores to farms to line dancing and much more.
For 11 years, every night women slept illegally on the common.
We would move down to the West Indies to form a lesbian nation.
Meg Kristen coined the phrase women's music, but she would have liked to say it was lesbian music.
And that's kind of the origins of the Combahoover Collective.
You can listen to Cruising on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes air every other Tuesday starting February 4th.
Do you ever feel like you entered parenthood completely overwhelmed and underprepared? Yeah, me too. Hi, I'm Rachel, and I'm your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we literally talk about all the things that no one told us before we had kids, and we let you in on the things that you really should have known about. Everything from navigating postpartum anxiety to mastering the art of making mom friends, and from introducing solids to tackling tantrums and potty training, we truly cover it all. And whether you're a first-time parent or a seasoned pro, this podcast is a go-to resource for honest advice, relatable stories, and plenty of laughs along the way. So join me and our guests each week on No One Told Us to feel less alone and more empowered.
This episode and the entire year of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QueerFam25 for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Make them babies, y'all, and then come tell me about them.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
We had our oldest first.
Oh, you had first?
Yes.
Wait, how did I get that backwards? I thought she started.
She started first, but I got pregnant first.
Wait, you guys were trying at the same time?
Yes.
What?
Is that? Oh my gosh. Yes.
Oh, that's
dating
crazy.
And trying to get pregnant. We were dating and trying to get pregnant at the same time.
Welcome, 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 y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. And this here episode is another episode in what I lovingly call the Pride Extravaganza. Third time in a row, actually. This is our third annual Pride Extravaganza, which means all through the month of June, you're getting double the episodes of Queer Family Goodness. And woo-hoo-hoo, this episode is really good. So you get an episode on Monday, you get an episode on Thursday. And it is all really amazing interviews with really amazing people that you're going to love, especially this one. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Dara Gordon. Dara is the new CEO of Family Equality, the organization that does amazing, amazing things for our families. And she will explain it so much better in the interview. So I'm going to let her do that, of what exactly she does and what Family Equality does. But y'all know family equality. I talk about family equality all the time. And, now more than ever, it's so important to have organizations like them who are really putting in protections for families like ours and just our whole community. So I was so honored to be able to sit down and really learn who Dara is besides the CEO of Family Equality. So we get into her family building journey with her wife and whew. Y'all, so we got sidetracked so many times because we were having so much fun talking. And then I'd find out that, oh, no, you did. You were trying to get pregnant at the same time. Wait, you both chose. Like, you'll see. There are many twists and turns in Dara's journey that are fun and also, very normal for families like ours. So you're going to love it. And of course, we kept getting sidetracked because we have teenagers. Well, I have a tween and she has a teenager and close to teenager. And so, when you have those, life is hard. So we kept getting sidetracked talking about the things our kids have done. So there's that. We are trudging through Pride Month. I shouldn't say trudging. We are actually having a great time this Pride Month. We love Pride. I hope y'all are having a great time with your Pride celebrations, whatever they may be, wherever they may be. And I hope you're feeling the Pride, because that's the whole point. We got to feel the Pride. We are a community that has a lot of resilience and a lot of freaking pride. So show it, especially this month and all months, I should say. But yeah, I just took my kids to Great Wolf Lodge. I don't know if any, they should sponsor this episode, actually. I took my kids to Great Wolf Lodge for a long weekend, and they had so much fun, and I am so exhausted. But it's a good place because they run around the entire time, which is what we want, right? It exhausts them, and it kept them off their screens, which I very much appreciate. So I highly recommend Great Wolf Lodge. Anybody know them to get a sponsorship deal from me? Send them my way, because I'd love a free stay. I'm just kidding. Check them out. It was fun. And I highly recommend those inclusive places. I mean, inclusive resort places. I'm not saying that. I don't know how they feel about Lijibichqua folks. I hope they love us. They better love us. But I highly recommend those all-inclusive places where the kids are like stuck inside or like in the vicinity and they can run free. And there's so many activities for them to do. So you don't have to worry so much about them. Anyway, long story short, let's get into this interview. I can't wait for you to hear Dara's story. It's a fun one. And happy Pride, y'all. Happy Pride. Enjoy it. Feel the pride. Feel the love. All right, Helen, Beulah, they're on the couch smoking their cigarettes. Just kidding. I don't have assistants. I feel like I always have to tell you they're fake assistants because so many people have thought they are real and that I'm really mean to these old ladies who sit on the couch and smoke cigarettes and drink whiskey. I don't have an assistant, but they're going to stay characters for a very long time. Helen, Beulah, come on in here. Let's roll that tape. Okay. No, I don't want any of your cigarette. Thank you. All right. Let's roll the tape. Here we go.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
And 3, 2, 1.
So hi, my name is Dara Gordon. I use she, her pronouns. I am the new CEO of Family Equality. I just joined in March, and I am a lifelong nonprofit LGBTQ leader. I'm really excited to do work with previously Hedrick Martin Institute, GLAAD most recently for the last 7 years. So I've helped organizations. I've led them through transformation and growth, tripled in size. And so I am beyond thrilled to have joined Family Equality during this moment. I am also a proud member of the LGBTQ community. I'm a mother of 3, raising children with my wife. Yes, oof. and they're middle schoolers. So they're all like preteen. And I just have a 13-year-old who had a birthday.
I have one middle schooler.
Yes, yes. Oh,
it's a lot. Dara, welcome. It is so awesome to have you. You already did your elevator pitch. It's done. We did this. I didn't even need to time you. It was so beautiful. I know.
I went right in. I don't waste time.
Like a true CEO. That's what you just did. You did it. Amazing. And I can't wait to hear all about everything. So you are the new CEO of Family Equality, which is a really, really important organization that all the listeners better know about by this time, because I talk about family equality all the time. You were at GLAAD before?
Yes.
And what did you do at GLAAD?
So I was the deputy president and the COO.
It's amazing. All jobs I would never hold. Okay, continue.
You do you, and I'll, right? We all have our part.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But you get it, right? You tell stories and you create visibility for our community. So that's really, you know, what that's about. And then before that, I was at Hedrick Martin Institute, where I started off in development. So I led development and fundraising, and then I was a COO there for 15 years. So it was
wow. Amazing. I am happy to have you on board at Family Equality, because Family Equality is near and dear to my heart, because it's like you just said, we're very simpatico, as we both are on a mission to tell the stories. Yes. You know, through storytelling is the best way to create change, I really feel. I mean, I don't know. You probably, as a CEO, probably have other ideas too, but
it's many things. But I think, yes, I think the storytelling, this is what I'm out doing as well, right? I mean,
yeah,
we're part of the fabric of this country and people need to get to know us.
Yes, they do. They really do. And we're not out there enough, not nearly enough.
Agreed.
Which is bull crap, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Dara, let's take it. Can we take it back?
Yeah.
Let's learn a little bit about Dara personally. I want to know more. So you have three children who are already middle school age. So let's take it back to you and your wife, like when you met, and like, what's the story there? I want to learn. I want to know.
Okay. So my wife and I, we met a little bit later in life. You know, uh-huh. we have a really interesting journey. It's sort of like we went backwards and forwards and we sort of did things, you know, our own way.
Uh-huh.
And I was on a journey to be a single mother by choice at that point in my life. And we found out on our second date that we were both on that exact same journey in that same moment.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Whoa, that's cool. And I just learned that there's an acronym for that. Did you know the acronym? Because somebody just DM'd me and they were like, thanks to you, I became a SMBC. I had to think it through.
Yes, I think there's that paperwork about it. Yes, there's a whole...
I was like, resources. What is that? I had to look it up. SMBC. So you were both on that SMBC path. And before this, were you living the gay life? Were you in the queer... Were both of you in the... I mean, you were on a date.
So we were on a date. So it was a little bit of an evolution for me. Like, always questioned. I always, you know, mm-hmm. growing up, it was like... I don't know. Yeah. There was no representation. I didn't even know what I was trying to figure out about myself because I never saw another lesbian. I never met another lesbian. And so it was always a question, big question mark in my mind. I knew there was something there for me. And then, you know, little moments again, media, like I saw, I think somehow, I don't even know why I was there because I was way too young, but I managed to get into Personal Best. Remember that movie? It was an iconic
lesbian movie
storyline.
How have I missed this?
How there have are, you missed there, that? I can't somebody out there knows. Maybe I'm dating myself. I couldn't.
No, because I don't think we're that far in age difference.
Oh my gosh, you have to. So it was a moment and it's about a story of two athletes that have an affair, two women athletes that have an affair. Yeah.
I have to see this movie.
You have to see this movie.
I'm putting this on my list tonight.
I've seen them all. Yes,
you have. I thought I had.
And there was just something that it was just that representation. Mm-hmm. Something just woke up. And then, but again, just kept on going, sort of hit it, wasn't really comfortable living my authentic self at that time. And then in graduate school, I met my first bisexual friend. I was on my journey, my nonprofit journey, really steep into social justice. And we were very free and diverse. I met so many different people from different walks of life. And she was kind enough to take me to my first lesbian bar in my 20s,
atta
my
girl.
Later 20s. And the rest is her story.
There it is.
Fast forward to my wife.
Wow. Where did you grow up?
New Jersey, Morris Township.
Oh, okay. So not far from, I mean, where do you live now?
Pelham, Westchester.
Oh, okay. I'm in the city.
I was in the city for years. And then when we, you know, then I have twins. So then when they started to come along, we realized we needed
to get out. It's hard. Yeah. It's so hard. With three, I can't imagine with three. I have two. And
idea what my household looks like.
I have no idea. I have a little bit of an idea, but I don't even want to imagine it because I'm already at my wit's end. So I get it. So you come out, her story, let's fast forward to you and your wife. You both realize you want to be, how far down this path had you gone?
Not very far. It was like a birthday. I was setting up. I was I moved to another apartment. I was really setting myself up.
You're a planner.
I was ready to get started, but I had not yet, you know.
Right.
I mean, I always knew I wanted to be a parent. I just, it was a really difficult journey once I did come out. People told me I shouldn't, and society really, you know, dictated it was between a man and a woman. And, but then I was really... determined. I was really determined and I knew it was going to happen for me. And so she was starting. And yes, we weren't true. We said we're going to just let's just see what happens between us. We're on this journey and we'll take it slow. Although, you know, we didn't.
No, of course you didn't. Of course you didn't. Come on now. I already know you didn't because you were having it. Okay. So I say this all the time on the show. We queer folks have the talk about family building like really early on all the time because we know there's going to have to be a lot of decisions to be made. And we need to make sure at least some part of it is on the same page. Like we need to know we both want kids. And then we need to know because like you both wanted to become single mothers by choice, but that doesn't mean you both wanted donor sperm. That doesn't mean she wasn't already, right? So, and that's how I know you started early. I mean, that's how I know you kind of U-hauled because you had that on the second date, but.
We did. But we kept moving slow. I was, you know, so yeah, there are a lot of decisions and we both made our own decisions about that. And so we had to really come together.
How did it go? Like, was this tough?
It was tough. Yeah. I mean, it was really, and we had to be mindful of each other's journey, right? Like, so I ended up getting pregnant. It was not easy. It was, again, like the legal barriers, the financial barriers, all of those things. So it wasn't easy. I got pregnant first. She really wanted to carry a child. I mean, it was a lifelong dream, you know, something she always wanted to do.
It's just like my wife and I, same. Like, I was hell-bent on have she went first because she was older and that meant we were having two kids because I have to carry and I really cared about the genetic tie, come to find out really doesn't matter, but I really cared. And our daughter was so difficult, she was such a difficult baby that if it wasn't for my stubbornness to want to do it, we wouldn't have two. You know?
I do know.
Yeah, well, let's back it up then. So I want to know how that conversation went. I want to know what her plan was and what yours were and how different or how same they were.
It started off, I think, relatively the same, but then you hit barriers, right? And so I think, like you said, you get sort of stuck on the biology. I had this idea of like, well, if we're going to really go down this path, we didn't actually get married until our firstborn was born. And then I was like, well, should we use the same donor? And, and we had to use egg and sperm. We're getting really into it, right? Like for her, because she was older and again, it was just making decisions along the way. And we just made it happen. And we made it happen in different ways because you start the journey thinking one way and then you have to just say my mother gave me the best advice. She said, if you want to be a parent, you be a parent and don't give up and don't worry about how it happens.
This is amazing advice. And it's such great advice for anybody who's on this journey. You cannot hold steadfast to what you think that journey or what that timeline is going to be. Like, it is not going to go the way you think it is. I mean, sometimes every once in a while, some couple I talk to gets lucky and it just boom, boom, boom. But more often than not, it's going to take a lot of twists and turns along the way.
I mean, I think also for our community, it is heartbreaking of what's happening. Like, I know folks that wanted to adopt and they it's perfectly legal in 14 states to just turn away people for who they are, future parents for who they are. And so it's really, there's just a lot of barriers for us, but we cannot give up. We deserve to have our families.
Yeah. This is great advice. Listen to Dara's mom. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it. Just keep going. However it pans out. So what's your wife's name?
Nicole.
When Nicole was starting out, did she know she was going to have to use an egg as well?
No.
Oh, okay. So you started with, okay, we're going to do donor sperm.
Yes.
And you picked out your donor sperm together?
No, we had done it before we met.
So you already had it. You had already picked out and you had it like on ice, like it was there?
Yes.
Oh
yes,
my God. Sure. So then you had to look at each other's donors and what if you didn't like them?
I know. It was
Oh my God. Oh, I feel like you're about to dish some tea.
I wanted to use the same. She did not want to. And we, you know, had a compromise and, you know, but I'm so happy because they are who they are. Like they're perfect. Yeah,
exactly. They're perfect. No matter what decision you make, you're going to get the baby that's meant for you. Just remember that. And you're going to love it. You're going to love whoever you get.
Yeah, I agree. And the biology, again, I feel like it gets, once you're a parent, it just doesn't matter. And you just think in those terms. And I think our society has said that because it's always leaned, the law has always leaned to biology.
Yes.
You know, and right. So I think my other advice is like, just don't get hung up on that. It doesn't matter. It does not matter.
And it's so easy for us to say because we're on the other side of it, right? But I know how it feels. And some people don't care at all, right? And yeah. I think that they're better people than me because I was like, no, this needs to happen.
No, I agree. And most 10 times LGBTQ parents or future parents are more likely to adopt or foster. And so, it is,
which is why it should be open. It should be way more open to our community.
Agreed.
And let's be real. We are the better parents. I'm sorry. To all the non-queers who are listening, we're still.
Hey, when you have to work this hard, when you have to think this much, like you are, it is intentional. 100%. I agree.
We are very intentional families, right? Okay. So this is fun. Okay. So you had to compromise. So it sounds to me like you both ended up like using your own donor sperm that you had already.
Yes.
And she was going first because she was a little older. And so what happened? So you started the path and then things weren't working with Nicole?
Yeah. Yeah. We just, we did multiple rounds. And again, it's, you know, we were lucky. We had insurance help, but still not enough. And so at some point, the doctors were just like, it's not, you know. And I also was like on my last, I was ready to adopt, actually. I was on my last attempt financially, you know, like to do IVF. And went through a whole nother, they found a cyst. And it was, you know, like it was just physically, they were like, this is really your last. They think that, you know, like you're not going to have another one. So I was really, you know, lucky.
That's why this podcast started, because it took me 3 years to get pregnant. I was the one to go second and we thought it was just going to be quick and because I was younger. It took me 3 years and I wanted to hear stories like mine. I couldn't find them. So that's why I created this podcast.
I love it.
Because it's so cathartic to hear these stories, especially when you're going through it, to hear stories that mirror your own, right?
Because all you hear is somebody gets pregnant. You don't hear anything else except the celebration of either pregnancy or adoption. You know, like you don't.
Yeah. And it's different for non-queer. I say non-queer. I don't say straight. I like to make us the subject. It's different for the non-queer folks because to them, when they have to go through this fertility journey, there is a level of sadness to it and shame that our community does not feel as much. And so the stories, the way they're told are just slightly different, right?
Yep.
It's not, when we go to the fertility clinic, it's a celebration. We're excited. Let's go. Yeah. When they go, this is their last ditch effort.
Yes.
With adoption as well, right? Yeah. In many cases, not all cases. But so there are different nuances to the way we tell stories just because of, you know, how these things come about. So that's why it's so important to have these stories out there for folks to get information and feel themselves mirrored.
You know, that's why I also am so excited to be at Family Equality because we are the LGBT family organization across the whole journey. And we need to work together with other organizations to make sure people have the information. There is so much involved between where you live, what are your rights, what's your plan, how you think about it.
And then once they're here, do you need the second parent adoption? Do you need a parentage order? Do you need this?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. We're going to get into that too. Oh, Dara, don't you worry. Cause I dig deep. But so, because when I went through my unexplained infertility, they called it, the doctor did want, he was like, I don't know, we should just get you a donor egg. And I was like, no, I wouldn't do it. So it lasted and last. It went on and on and on and on, which is why your mother's advice is so good and so important. You took this path because you needed to. I kept going, but I could have ended up with a donor egg as well if you know.
And there's many different ways, which is incredible now. I mean, this is like, we have many amazing ways to form our family. So
yeah, we'll be right back.
Podcast, love is love.
All right, folks, if you're listening to this here show and you're starting to think, maybe it's time to start building my family. And I'm thinking I might want to go the donor sperm route. I have a promo code for you. You're going to go to cryobank.com. You're going to use code QueerFam25, and that's going to get you a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. So you can go in there, see what your options are, see what their diverse selection of donors is. You can see all the things they offer with their level 2 subscription, and you also can get a discount with this code on a level 3 subscription, which gives you even more information about the donors. I always say, you need to make informed choices when it comes to queer family building, and this code is a wonderful way to really, really get yourself informed. And California Cryobank, as y'all know, has been helping the LGBTQIA community for 45 years and counting. They have services made specifically for our community, and they're a wonderful, wonderful place to get started on your search. So head to cryobank.com, use code QueerFam25, that's QUEERFAM 25, and it's going to get you that free level 2 subscription. Start making those babies, y'all, or just go shopping and see what you see, and then come tell me about them.
Love is love.
So what was choosing the donor egg like? Because that was unexpected, and I'm sure there was a bit of a feeling of loss there, especially for Nicole.
And again, I think the family unit, I think it was difficult. Like, did I miss my chance? Or, do you know, like, and again, going through her own life journey. And so, you know, she's 100% Italian. I don't know if you know Italians.
That matters. I know matters. Enough to know that matters, right? Yeah.
So there was this, like, it was, you know, so it was definitely a loss, right? There was, like, you give something up, right? And you have to then reimagine and redream. And so that was sort of that experience. Okay, so what do we, you know, like, what do we want and what do you need? And so, and I was very much around, what does she, you know, want and need? And so that was important. So that was like a part of the puzzle of, can we find Italians for as much, as high, you know, there aren't a lot of 100% Italians out there. So between the sperm and the donor, like, so we just tried to do that much, to have that, you know, that background, to have that connectivity, I guess, in the background.
So you prioritized the heritage.
Yes.
And looks were, did you try to, like, model her looks? Or,
yeah, a little bit.
I mean, if you're going to be 100% Italian, I feel like, yeah, possibly you might kind of look, I don't know. There's blonde Italians too. I don't know.
There are.
I'm just assuming she has brown hair. I could be totally wrong.
You're totally wrong. How did you? Yes. No. You do, but she does. She has brown hair. But she has very fair skin. She has very fair skin.
Yeah. So you prioritized heritage. That's another thing that people are always wanting to know. Like, what was your main thing that you were looking for when you found your donor, right?
Yeah.
And this time you got to choose together. So that might have made it even harder, actually.
It was, and again, it was like, you're already in love, you're making a plan for the future. And so you're kind of in it, you know? So it is sort of, you make it work. And it is kind of interesting, because once you go down this path, like, we did talk about even adopting a fourth. I know we're crazy, we didn't. But once you go down the path, you're just like a child, you know, like, you just, yeah. You want to give a child a home and you want to raise them. And it's like all those other things.
No, I get it. And it's hard to stop, you know, like, I had my son.
We did.
I was ready to go again. And my wife was like, absolutely, yes, not.
I definitely had a moment where.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what it is about it's the hormones. Okay. So you picture a donor egg, you had the original donor sperm, and then did it happen fairly easily after you put those two things together for Nicole?
Oh yes. There's a whole other story for that, because I was on it. I was like, two is good, right?
Yeah.
And
right.
If you know the process, you decide to put how many embryos, gives you different chances. And so the doctor, you know, I think if memory serves, two was like 70%, you know, chance. And it was such a devastating years of trying, you know, like, and she's like, I just want the best chance that I can get. Like, I don't know how, you know, like, a longer I can go through this, but there's a bigger chance of twins. Like, you know, yeah. Like, and I was like, I remember us, like, we were in the doctor's office and he's like, one or two, or they're in, and I was like, one. And she was like, looking at me like, what? And I was like, what? Yeah. What? But again, it's just, you know, it was about her, you know, like, and really making sure that she was supported. So we have twins. Twins.
Oh man, because there's an element to this that is so queer, because you still want to carry. So now you're talking three, at least, right? That's now we know it's going to be three kids. Yep. So it's not just two. We got twins, but now there's going to be at least three, possibly four.
First, so these were the third. So we had our oldest first.
Oh, you went first?
Yes.
Wait, how did I get that backwards? I thought she started.
She started first, but I got pregnant first.
Wait, you guys were trying at the same time?
Yes.
What?
Is that? Oh my gosh, yes.
Oh, that's
dating
crazy.
And trying to get pregnant. We were dating and trying to get pregnant at the same time.
Well, that's a whole, we got to go into that, Dara. So, okay. Oh my God, there's so many emotions here. So she started, and then she went first, but then you started shortly
after that. Yes, shortly.
And then her journey started to be this long thing. And then, oh my God, the donor egg. Oh, I can't imagine. And then you get, what was that like when you got pregnant?
We were happy. We were thrilled. We were excited. You know, it was like I had been trying for, I think, about a year or so, you know, so it wasn't, but it was, you know, the hormones, the pills, and they moved to like the shots. And it's just like, so we were both really excited. We were both really excited.
That's great. I know I would have been neurotic and probably like secretly hated you for a while.
Maybe there was. Yes. I mean, there may have been a little bit. There may have been a little bit.
But I'm the neurotic one with all the feelings.
You know, then she doubled down. So, you know, she's like, I'll one up you.
And she did.
And she did.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay. So when the whole time you're pregnant, she was still trying.
Yes.
Oh my God. So how long was her journey total?
Oh gosh, it feels like a little bit of a blur. I might want to say 2 years, maybe 2 years.
Oh God. Yeah, that's tough. What's their age difference?
Eight and a half months.
Oh, so she got pregnant right around the time you gave birth.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Y'all were hormonal. Yeah. And I mean, your household it's been crazy for decades.
Oh, it's hysterical. Yeah, it was totally. I moved in with her. I was 7 months pregnant. I mean, that was like our moving in. Then we have a picture. We got married when, you know, legally married, and she was huge. I always joke. I'm like, she was knocked up.
Yeah, I was going to say that's so straight of you.
That's amazing. Oh, it is. Trust me. I thought I was really radically, you know, breaking all the norms. And here I am in the suburbs with three children and I'm on the board of education. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny.
It's kind of amazing. I love this for you. I think it's amazing. You have the baby and then you find out you have twins. And that was crazy, I'm imagining. But you got over it.
Clearly.
At some point, yeah. And of course, now you have them.
Yes, and then she divulged. She's like, well, I kind of always secretly wanted to have twins. And so I was like, oh my gosh. Yep. That was much later that she came clean on that one.
That's so funny. She got what she wished. She got what she wanted. But I remember this conversation with my wife as well, for both of us, actually. I remember we were so afraid of twins. And for both of us, we put in, I think, at one point we put in three embryos. Because I put three in because mine looked crappy. So they were like, they're going to help each other.
Yes, that was my situation, right? So you're hoping for, you know, your luck.
Just one. Yeah. But we were like so scared that we would have twins. We didn't end up with twins. And actually, I kind of wish we had twins.
Because then you'd be I don't know. It all happens as it should, I guess.
It does. And I love my babies. But so
you can come visit me and then maybe you might feel differently.
Right. And they're teenagers now. And what are they? Are they, what did you each have? And who are they now?
So, I should say. So our oldest, the one that I delivered, came out last year as non-binary.
Oh, okay. Congrats.
Thank you. And then the twins are boy, girl.
And you talk about when your oldest came out as non-binary to you. And
they're very proud of my work. You know, it's a renewed passion now, creating a world where, you know, they can thrive and they have the freedom to build their families. We talk about family. So, I mean, they're just the sweetest little beings. And at one point, they just started collecting like the flags, like like really like very into, my wife and I are like, oh, look at our,
Because you're in a queer household anyway.
Who they were going to grow up to be, but mm-hmm. always, and had that, really created a very affirming, environment. I think though, for any, the trans attacks, non-binary, it is a really hostile, horrible environment. So
it's terrible.
They, they see that. They don't live in a bubble. They just turned 13. And it's really difficult. And we affirm every move. But society is society, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. So they, I think it was just an evolution. Again, it wasn't like one day, I think one time I saw their name tags, right? They joined their local GSA. They have like a middle school GSA with three participants. And it's really cute. And they do art. I'm like, what do you guys do? And they're like, we do art.
Rainbows.
And then I think one time I saw a label with their chosen pronouns, the pronouns they prefer. And I said, okay, so do you want me to go by that? And then I just, started to ask, very trying to let them navigate it, but I'm I'm a Jewish mother. So I ask them a million questions about their lives. So I just said how do you want me to, what pronouns do you want to use? And it was like an evolution. Yeah. They're a teenager. So they're also, I think, trying to navigate their identity and who they are. And
I just had it last night. There was a tween meltdown right at bedtime that I navigated through.
Always at bedtime. I had one last night too. It's the fight over the cell phone, like hand in the cell phone. Did you just have the same thing?
Oh my god, she lost her. I mean, she's on punishment right now because we took the messaging away on her phone and she is.
How old is yours? How old?
She's 11. And she wasn't being responsible and she broke one of the rules. And like this cell phone, we need guidebooks here. We need help.
Oh, it is.
I don't know how to navigate this. Like, because we didn't have this as kids. Everything else I can be like, well, I know I wasn't allowed to do this and this, but this, I don't know what to do with this.
I know. And they're really the first generation with this, as children. They're not, they're not fully formed. Their brains are not making good judgments.
Exactly.
It is so difficult. It is so difficult.
And then their friends have more freedoms than they, because I guess we're kind of strict about the phone. I don't understand how that's strict, but I guess so. She can't have social media. You can't have social media. I'm sorry, but her friends have it. So she thinks we're just the worst moms in the world. And now she doesn't even have messaging. These group chats, I can't stand.
Oh, they're awful. I know. And that was the whole thing. Like at night, we're like, we are going to take the phones. You're going to learn to like just disconnect.
Yes.
And it's still, they're all different too. For some, it's like not a big deal.
Right.
It depends though. Sometimes it's their lifeline. It feels like it's their lifeline, their connectivity and that is for
my daughter. It's like social. It's social is everything. So like her social life. Oh God, I think they need to make a tween phone that doesn't have messaging on it. Like, why can't they just call each other? I was like, just call your friends. She's like, ew, mom, ew. They'll think something's wrong with me. Yeah. She's like, ugh, I can't call. I'm like, just call her. Oh, mom, ew. Wow. Okay. I'm like, I'm going to put a landline in the kitchen.
Oh, no. And the greatest is like, we made an agreement. We get to look through their phones if we want to and we need to. And that is also like,
Well, but we need to, like, I have a monitoring app that's set up. So it it alerts us if there's something questionable. So then we go in and she knows. But this is tough. This is hard. And it's all in the name of protecting them because everything they put out there, it's there forever. Like my friend just got a new job and they went through her. They found every social media account she's ever had. And she got flagged because on somebody's post, she wrote, good luck, girl. You're going to kill it. And that got flagged,
We were just talking. We were visiting friends and her niece is like on social all the time and she's studying to be a nurse and they're like, you need to get off of it.
They look now, now it's all, it's, if you put it down on a screen, it's out there forever.
Yeah.
So you really need to know what you're too young to know. You can't stop yourself.
No. But we're set up though to be so difficult. Like it should just be, I mean, I can, you know, it's easy to say things like this, but it should just not be available, right? Like, I mean, there were so many harmful, it should just not be available until you're 18. Like it just shouldn't. So, because now we're fighting to your point, like this person has this, this is this. It's like just, it's so difficult.
And they
leave it up to the parents, but there's so many other
it's not fair.
Factors that make it so difficult.
Agreed. So I think that probably by the time our kids are grown and they have kids, there's going to be all these special things that they're not. So to make it easier on the parents, but we're suffering through it.
Yep. We're the first. Yep. Generation.
Anxious. Oh, God. That tween meltdown just got us all over here on this topic. But this is the stuff, right? So when this is the last thing I want to ask about your family building and stuff like that. When the kids were all here, second parent adoption, did you do it? And how quickly did you do it? If you did it, and what are your thoughts on that?
You know, look, New York is definitely leading the way as far as still a ways to go. So we are, you know, we're in New York. And so at the time, Nicole wasn't able to be on our oldest birth certificate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
why?
So just because they didn't have that, it wasn't legal.
She's 13. So wow, interesting.
We weren't married. We weren't married.
And they wouldn't. Okay, so what did you have to do?
We weren't married. I think if we were married,
but I don't think. But it doesn't matter for non-queers. The
New York, yeah, like, it wasn't
teenage parents. The boy goes on. You know.
Yep.
Interesting.
We did an adoption when she was, God, how old was she? She might have been like 4. We have the photo. It's the sweetest photo. So we did that. For the twins, we haven't. But I will tell you, one of the things, and again, one of the things we're doing at Family Equality, which is why I'm so thrilled to lead this organization, is protecting marriage equality. And so I wake up every day thinking like, well, what, do you know, like immediately, like where, how will we be protected? And what if we travel? And, you know, how do we take care of that? But so we did not with the twins, but I'm on their birth certificate and it's also hard to find lawyers that will do that. Some of them are like, you don't need it. I'm like, well,
every lawyer that I've had on the show has strongly advised to just do it. Just, it's better to button it up. But yeah, I've talked to some folks who couldn't find a lawyer to do it. We found I just used the lawyer I interviewed, actually. He's a gay lawyer. And he was like, I'll do it for you. So we did that.
But which is great because you know you can. And I think we went through another, and I said, no, that's not true. So they're advising other families not to do it or that you don't like. They can't, and you can.
You can.
So there's a lot of, there's misinformation out there. I don't think people understand. And so I'll keep bringing it back to family equality. And that's why I'm so excited to be here, because we need to make sure that we're armed and families have resources and they understand their legal protections and how to protect their families.
Yeah. And family equality is a great resource. So, you know, and you're doing the work, which is really, really important to help put protections in place for us, because they're chiseling away. I don't know who they're going to go for next, but things look scary right now. They really do. And it is, for me, there's a fear in the back of my mind that we're going to be the next ones they're coming for, you know?
Yeah, we are. I mean, not to they, yeah. It's explicit, you know, it's explicit in their playbook. We are, but you know, we keep pushing forward. I think we have to come together and we have to build partnerships, social justice partnerships and allies. And, you know, I mean, we are stronger together. And I do think we just cannot get drowned in the fear, because it's real. I wake up every day, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's their playbook. It's that ultra Christian right playbook. And they're coming for all of us. And it is scary. But we're strong together. And you don't want to mess with this community. Like,
oh, no. We're not going anywhere. We're here.
And like, it's never going to end. You know, you can do whatever you want, but it's not going to stop.
Look, I mean, I think we have to also remember, I mean, we've made huge progress. I mean, look at this. Look at what we're talking about, you know, and I think we need to fight for our most marginalized. I think we need to keep going and keep making progress together. And so we're going to, I believe in us.
I believe in us too. We're a strong community. We're great. Yep. We're strong. There's a whole thing happening with my school board here. They put some anti-trans stuff up for votes. And so there's a whole like Moms for Liberty chapter that's a few. Anyway. And the trans community has been showing up to protest at these every single meeting. And I go to them too for 2 years. No, for 1 year they've been showing up. They're going on 2 years. They still show up. They are not going to back down. We are not like you don't mess with us.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like, we're fighters.
Yes.
We're survivors. We're resilient. It's
yes.
Over time. Yeah.
Yes. Especially the trans community. They have to show up in the streets every day as their authentic selves. The hate that gets thrown at them at all, you know, forget about it.
And yes. And we need to be in it together. I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are one united group. I love that. There is one more thing I didn't dig into. Your donor. How did you choose your donor?
So my best friend, and was like, you know, you're so, you know, like left brainer, you know, like you need an artsy donor. You need somebody, you know, that can kind of create that balance of like who you are. Like I am really laser focused.
I can tell.
Business, you know, like oriented. And I love art and I love creativity, but it just doesn't show up. So that was actually it sounds so funny, but the donor is like a saxophone player and had some other really creative qualities and
amazing.
You know.
So you went with kind of like, you know, some people go first with medical, some people go with heritage, like Nicole. You went with
like a balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To balance out. Yeah.
Because it's also funny because, you know, my wife is an art teacher and I love, you know, like, and so it felt like a, if there was sort of that opposites attract, like that would be my go-to. So that's, yeah.
That happens a lot. But okay. So that did the child come out with any special like artistic tendencies?
Yeah, they're an artist. They actually got approved to the art studio program as an eighth grader, which is really huge. I mean, there's only like and you know, my wife's an art teacher, so we have these like studio and access to things, and it is a huge, incredible outlet. And they're really talented. Very.
Oh my god, that's amazing!
Animals and art; those are like if you want to like you know sum animals. Them up in it. Yeah,
that's. Amazing. And also, you know, like my kids, I was like, they're going to be like this, they're going to be, they are not anything like what I expected.
Well, yeah. I mean, and they are their own, they're just their own people, right? Like they are who they are. It doesn't matter. So I would, yes. I mean, that was, it just happened to be. And they're very,
that one worked out.
Anyways.
That worked out for
that
you.
That one worked out.
I'm happy. Happy for you there.
but they can't get out the door on time in the morning. So I think my, you know,
uh-oh. You overcompensated.
When out the door. So, you know.
Oh my God. That's amazing. Well, that's the thing, you know, we have to protect our families and also we're still in the muck, just like every single parent out there. We're just like everybody else trying to get the kids out the door and they're 15 minutes late already.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that is one of the things like people don't realize, like we're contributing citizens and we're just like there's so much. We just have different barriers and more barriers. And, you know, you can dig into that even further. But
right. Which just makes us more intentional and resilient. No accidents here. Yeah. All right, I have one last question for you, and I'm trying to remember to ask every guest in the Pride Extravaganza this question, but I have forgotten to ask two of my guests so far, which is Mom Brain. Okay, my final question. It's a big one. You might want to think about it, but it's what does Pride mean to you? Mm-hmm. I feel like we've already talked about it in so many ways, but that's my big question.
I think for me and my family, Pride is a celebration. It's a celebration. It's a part of the movement and a celebration of who we are, being proud and standing up strong and coming together.
Yes, I love that. It is a celebration. It's big in my house. We make a big deal.
Oh gosh, so do we. I mean, you should see our house.
We got flags everywhere.
Oh yeah, and our oldest is like, I mean, it is.
Yeah, and now I'm sure. and an artist too. You're going to have so much pride.
You should go into their room. They've got like flags and it is, you know.
Oh, I love that.
Every day is pride in our house, right?
That's the way it should be. Every day is pride. Yeah. Every day is pride. It's every day. Oh, this has been great. I'm so happy.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh, this is really nice.
Thank you for coming. I'm so happy to know more about you.
Likewise. I know. Hopefully this will be the first of many conversations.
I hope so. We got to get our kids together. Although I have a 7-year-old and nobody's going to want to hang out with him.
No, that's okay. We put the others to work. I'll give them like some money. And they're very into money now. So I'll be like, they'll watch this. We'll make it work. We'll make
okay.
it work.
Okay. All right. We'll have a barbecue play date where we can ignore the children.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, this is great. Thank you so much, Dara.
Thank you. All right. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Queer Family Podcast.
Before we say goodbye, I just want to say one last thank you to our sponsor, California Cryobank. What you're going to want to do is use code QueerFam25 to get you a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Let's go. Let's go. Thank you, California Cryobank.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier. You're going to join and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Hey, I'm stand-up comedian Ophira Eisenberg, and I am mom to a very spirited 9-year-old and host of Parenting is a Joke. Each week, I talk to comedians and celebrities about what it's like to raise kids while keeping your career afloat. There is no parenting advice here, okay? Just hilarious stories from the chaos of everyday life, from school drop-offs to airport meltdowns and everything in between. We're all figuring it out. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Subscribe to Parenting is a Joke wherever you get your podcasts.